Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man of Three.
All right, Dan. I guess the simpler way to lay this out is apparently everybody in Major League Baseball is a cheater, right? Well, maybe not everybody. So, of course, as the story goes, in 2018, the Boston Red Sox used their video replay room to steal signs. So now they will be under investigation by Major League Baseball as Major League Baseball begins to wrap up their investigation of the Houston Astros. So we shall kind of see where this one did. Now, what they said is the Red Sox apparently didn't use these for in-game, necessarily stealing signs like the Astros did, but they were able to, obviously if you stole the sign in the first game of the series, you were able to use it in the second, and so on down the road or in the next series or however you want to kind of work that out. But what I realized today, Dan, is what the Astros sign stealing and the Red Sox sign stealing has in common is one relatively interesting thread, and that would be Alex Cora. So what are they doing to the Red Sox here now?
My phone dropped off. I missed the first part of it, but
your phone cut out again. I didn't hear you.
Well, I said it cut out, so I didn't hear what you said.
Well, no, it cut out while you were asking me what I said when you cut out. No, they caught the Red. Apparently, they caught the Red Sox stealing signs in 2018. So they used their video replay room to do it. So they didn't apparently steal them in live time like the Astros did. But obviously they use them later on. So what can Major League Baseball do here? I mean, I have a feeling teams are just going to continue to do this because they have the equipment. So is there anything baseball can do?
I mean, I'm sure they'll find them and all that crap, but I mean, what's it going to change?
I heard today that apparently their investigation into the Astros is almost complete, so we should find out what they're going to do with them. But, I just kind of look at it now as Alex Cora is a cheater, right? I mean, he was part of the Astros sign stealing, and now he's part of the Red Sox sign stealing, so he just cheats, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it helped him win two World Series, right?
Yeah, technically he ended up winning them in, He won the one with the Astros, and then he went over and managed the Red Sox, and they won one. You know, just coincidental that, you know, he was stealing signs in both, you know, both instances. But, hey, you know, I, you know, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, right?
Well, pretty much. I mean, so, you know, what are they going to do, take away the ring? They're not going to do that.
Well, you know, I mean, it you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, what I'm, you know, I am a little curious about if the second team doing it, in this case being the Red Sox, will actually be punished worse than the first team. You know, because obviously, you know, teams were warned. I just don't know. You know, there's really not a stoppage to this, is there? I mean, how does Major League Baseball police it to get it to stop?
Give the catcher and pitcher Bluetooth technology.
Well, is that? But then they could just tap into that and steal that.
Yeah, so I mean, what is the real solution? How are they going to stop it, aside from banning Alex Cora for life?
You know, this we'll see. This is where you come in. You're the one who's supposed to, you know all this stuff and, you know, figure all this stuff out. So.
Yeah, but I mean, it's part of the game that's been going on since the invention of the game. So, I mean, what can they really do? Everyone's going to find a way around it unless you have hard and set place rules, which they don't. Hence why everyone was using steroids 20 years ago, because they could.
Yeah, I assume
hey,
with
know,
the,
I mean,
the new collective bargaining agreement coming up, do they get harder place rules, or can you put something like that in?
I mean, you can, but, you know, at the end of the day, I don't really think that the owners care. You know, because if their team cheats to win, they're just going to have a stronger draw, you know, and regardless of the negative connotation that might bring, you know, you're still going to have your advertisers, you're still going to be selling jerseys. You know, all that good stuff. So it's really not going to affect the owners in any way unless you start taking away their money, you know, finding the owners. And then from the player's standpoint, yeah, it's something that they want, but, you know, is it that important?
Well, you got to figure out, I mean, you've got to figure there's some kind of owner fine coming, right, with this this Angela ruling.
Well, I mean, there could be, but, you know, the owner could just pull old good old Mayor Daley, and I didn't know that was going on.
Yeah, but that, you know, something like that isn't gonna, you know, I mean, that's not gonna stop them from fining the team. You know, I mean, they can play stupid all they want, but it's still their team, and, you know, I mean, these guys are going to get fined.
Yeah, and then you fire the coach, and then you get a new one. So, you know, one fine, at the end of the day, isn't really going to change anything, unless it's significant. I mean, it's not like they're going to be fining them $1 million. What is it going to be, $10,000?
Yeah, I, you know, who knows? I mean, I, you know, I have no idea what they'll, you know,
yeah,
what
I
they'll
mean,
decide to do, how it works out, but.
You know, I mean, in the end, nothing's going to change. Not going to make a difference.
You know, I mean, yeah, no, you know, there's no. not exactly a way to like ban the technology. I mean, especially like the Red Sox. I wonder if the fine with the Red Sox will be a little more, or the deal with the Red Sox will be a little more. Because remember, they got in trouble for the Apple Watch thing. You know, and now they're caught doing it again. So I don't know.
I mean, I think you start to, you find a coach, and then as the team, you know, a team, fine. That's not a huge thing, but I think you take away all their first-round draft picks regardless. And you take away international pool money.
You know, I mean, that's what I'm really kind of interested in seeing is what they do to the Astros here. You know, I think is going to be an interesting kind of parameter to how this all ends up playing out. So I don't know when they're going to announce that or what's going to happen with that. It seems like it's been taking forever. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, you know, I did see a little blurb that apparently they're close to wrapping up this investigation. So, we'll what happens with it.
What does that even mean, they're close to wrapping it up?
Well, that means we'll get a decision on what they're doing. You know, what the punishment is or whatever they decided to do with this.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm close to paying off my car, but that's only because I'm finished with the first payment booklet.
Yeah, it must be nice. I'm not through the first payment booklet on mine yet. But, yeah, it's so weird, you know, when you hear these guys discuss this stuff, because, you know, I heard, had to be a month ago, maybe more, I think we talked about they were supposed to have a decision on the Chris Bryant service time grievance, and that still hasn't been decided. So, it's kind of like, okay, great. What did we decide on that? So, yeah, I'm just not sure how fast the NFL is actually going to act on any of these things. Oh, you've got to be kidding. God, I hate this. I hate you so much. Come on. Okay. Sorry, I'm having my normal internet problems. Yeah, I don't know. You don't have an idea. They clean this up, or they come up with something. They ban something, or change something, or do something. Or what's the topic there?
No, I mean, they need to just set out a flat out rule, but they refuse to do that. So I mean, it's kind of pointless. I mean, again, sign stealing is not new to 2017, 18, or 19.
Well, no, but doing it this way.
Yeah, but I mean, see, and this is where Major League Baseball and all of these guys, you know, NFL, NBA, NHL, I don't really know a whole lot about NHL, but they're still technology-wise like 30 years behind. I don't understand what is so hard. Oh, the rule. Well, you're the ones who make the rule. don't know how to update it and make it open-ended for technology-wise. Oh, is the technology just new for these 3 years? No. Why hasn't this been, you know, talked about in the previous CBAs, going back even 10 years ago? Is all this technology a surprise? No, I mean, you know, like we talked about with the NBA, look at their instant replay. Two referees on the court that get a flat screen TV flipped around for them to look at. That's a bunch of horse crap. You know, Major League Baseball, it takes you 5 to 10 minutes to declare a guy out at first on a close play when they half the time overturn it or don't overturn it, despite the fact that tie goes to the runner. And I've seen it so many times where they end up calling out, being called out, which I must misinterpret the term tie goes to the runner portion of that rule. But, that's the one thing that just irritates me with these organizations as a whole is your multi-billion-dollar industry, yet we're acting like it's still the 1970s. And we're looking for solutions when your solution's right in front of you. Did I lose you?
No, I'm still here. I was just trying to figure out, you know, where else, you know, what else they, you know, what else they could kind of do, or, you know, how else they fix it from here, where, you know, it's something that, you know, is workable, I guess.
Yeah, but then they, you know, stick their fingers up their butt, and then, oh, we got to do these surveys, and we've got to make allegiances with independent leagues that are not a part of us, that we could figure out if things are going to work the right way. I mean, quit dragging your ass and actually do something. You know, what's the point of the commissioner to begin with? Just to be ahead for the game to go, oh, we need to speed up the game. You know, like, do they even really do anything? It's kind of tired, if you ask me.
Yeah, but remember, you know, they also have to deal with, you know, and I do wonder how it affects this, you know, they have to deal with the union. You know, anytime you're dealing with that, there's, you know, going to be issues or what. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I get that, but why not just put them out on blast? You know, just put it out there. This is what we need. You know, and that goes with both sides, especially when it comes to them to figure out what kind of suspension punishment to hand out to these guys for steroids. It's ridiculous.
They did that with steroids. Remember, they kind of put the union on blast going, hey, you know, we need, you know, this or that or whatever, and it didn't really work.
You know, then what's the point? Then don't do anything. And just say we allow cheating until we have to go to Congress.
So, you know, yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's a, you know, a way to meet it up somewhere. I just don't know. I'm sure part of the reason these guys were surprised by this is, you know, you got to remember it's a bunch of old men who run these games.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we're with, you know, guys who are, you know, on trend or know what's going on in the world. I mean, they're, you know, old dudes who are, you know, probably as technologically challenged or more than I am. So you've got to just kind of imagine, you know, what that's like.
Yeah, but I mean, these are also billion-dollar men who their whole careers are built on solving problems to make more money. So, I mean, is it that big of a problem where they need to solve it? you know, do they even care?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, I mean, the owners who are winning don't care. You know,
no.
I mean, why are the Red Sox going to care if this is solved, or the Astros care, you know, how this is solved? I mean, they won. So.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's my point, is it's really not going to change anything, because, I mean, do you really think that the Royals give a damn about that the Red Sox are cheating? Because even if the Red Sox didn't cheat, the Royals aren't going to be in a better position.
No, but, you know, you got to think the teams they beat, you know, I mean, they beat the Dodgers. You got to think
yeah.
the Dodgers would care. So.
And they haven't made any kind of, you know, think about it. So that's what's interesting too.
You know, yeah, I mean, we haven't heard from any teams, so who knows, you know, what is going on there with anything. I don't know if it's, you know, the news just broke this morning, so I don't know if it's something we'll hear from eventually, or, you know, down the road, or how it works out. But yeah, I just, you know, I just don't know if they're really, you know, I mean, is there a fix? I mean, okay, if you stop them from doing this, aren't they just going to do something else?
Yeah, and that's pretty much my whole point. And, you know, you could put something in motion, but, you know, think about how the Astros were doing it. They were beating on drums.
Yeah.
You know, can't the Indians just do that?
No, because they get used because of the drums in the stands. So.
Well, I mean, throw in the towel and say, "Oh, hey, you know, we're just going to give up because we can't stop it." But I mean, they pretty much can.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would think if you made an example out of one team, wouldn't everybody else be scared to do it?
Yeah, well, and that's the biggest problem, is they don't make an example out of anybody.
You know, I mean, if you were to drop the hammer on the Astros and, you know, this cost them, you know, and the Red Sox as well, since they're involved here with the new one. You know, I mean, say it cost them each 5 first-round picks, and they took away all their international bonus money. I think that would do a lot to dissuade teams from cheating, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, that's the biggest question of them all, is why haven't they gone to that route? What are they so afraid of? You know, are
yeah, well, you know, I
going to secede from the lead and start their own lead?
Maybe. So, you know, I mean, I think the, you know, the one issue that, you know, in all major sports do this, not just baseball, you know, I think they really want to believe that they're 100% correct. And I don't think you're ever going to know if you're 100% correct. So, you know, obviously that's going to be a drawback, because you're going to be sitting on your hands going, oh, well, can I do this with blah, blah, blah or whatever? And it's like, great. So how are we going to know?
Well, you know, and like you said, the Red Sox were, you know, it broke today. But, I mean, go back to 2017. They still haven't figured out what the hell they're doing with that.
No, well, you know, the other thing I'm curious on is, why in the hell does it take so long to find these things out? You know, I mean, why is everything like 2 years behind that we find out teams are doing this. So. You know, I just don't understand, you know, why, you know, why we were like, oh, well, it was 2 years ago they did this. Well, why did it take 2 years to come out? So. So. You know, I don't know, just kind of, you know, kind of one of those goofy things. So, you know, we'll see. But I did, you know, I am having my, you know, my fun new thing now, Dan, and the year you're in for, because, you know, obviously this affects you greatly. Apparently the, you know, even though it's only January 7th, apparently the Cubs are a fourth-place team, Dan. So are you ready for them to be a fourth-place team? You know, that seems to be the, you know, the new thing, because the Reds are so, you know, greatly improved with their signings. And I'm not quite sure what the Cardinals and the Brewers did. You know, I know the Brewers signed a bunch of starting pitchers who could probably go three or four innings. I don't think the Cardinals have signed anybody, but apparently that makes them better than the Cubs, because they were last year, so by default they're better. So, yeah, apparently the Cubs are just destined for fourth place, Dan, and you're going to have to eat it. So I hope you're ready for it.
Well, I mean, I won't be able to watch them anyway.
Yes, luckily for you.
Mm-hmm.
So... you know, that's, you know, and that does bring me to the other point. You know, Shamer, too, is in the same boat as you. He is a Comcast subscriber who doesn't have a current deal with, what is it, the Marquee Network? Is that what they are?
Yeah.
You know, who will be carrying the Cubs games. I am lucky enough, of course, you know, with my fantastic AT&T service, that I will actually get Cubs games. Not that I care to watch, because good old JD stuck so bad, I'd rather listen to it on the radio. But, yeah, you know, like Stu asked me the question, he's kind of under the belief that this is going to cost Comcast a lot of subscribers. Are you in that market? I mean, are you changing to get games, or do you see a lot of other... you know, Comcast people flowing away to go get the game?
Not really. I mean, you know, for me, I actually don't have cable anymore because they changed my entire package of channel lineups just because I canceled my home phone service that I didn't use. So I actually cut the cord and use Sling TV now. But I have Comcast internet, and I have the cell phone. So I'm pretty much tied to Comcast. But, you know, I had looked into AT&T Now, which, you know, is a streaming service only. And unfortunately, it's $65 a month. So if I were to go back to cable, I would just bundle it up with Comcast because it's a hell of a lot cheaper. So, but I do think they lose, you know, I wouldn't say more than 50% of subscribers. You know, because a lot of Comcast people refuse to go back to AT&T. So there's
that
part of it.
You know, I would think more like 10 is probably the high water number. I don't see more than 10% swapping over. I mean, you know, AT&T is more expensive, and you know, obviously with the, you know, with the service I've had, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. So, You know, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there who have problems with Comcast, but I can't see it being as bad as the issues we've had here. You know, like I was telling, you know, like I just kind of mentioned earlier at the start of the podcast, my internet kind of started to act up, and, you know, we go through it every time, almost every time we do a podcast, I have internet issues because I'm guessing it's high traffic time, and, you know, this is just bad. You know, we have problems all the time with our, you know, the cable just freezing up and, you know, having to reset the box and all kinds of other things. So I would be shocked if Comcast service was that bad. You know, but maybe it's just me, and, you know, I'm just unlucky with that kind of stuff, because that wouldn't surprise me either. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to be that significant of a loss, but at the same time, I'm sure they'll find other ways to find the game. And, you know, as it is today, I don't think people watch it as much as, you know, guys like Schomburg do watch.
Yeah, I mean, I think the older clientele, you know, will probably be the people who are more upset, because they're around to watch the game. You know, I think at this point, with the way, you know, everybody's lifestyle is, you know, they, you know, catch what they can, or, you know, maybe it's on in the background. I don't know how many people are legitimately sitting down to just watch a game. So I don't think there's that many, you know, that many hardcore baseball fans. You know, I think if the team starts to win, then there might be a little bigger turnover, because obviously, you know, you're going to get the turnover from the fair weather fans like you get anytime any team wins. So, but yeah, other than that, I can't see it being a huge deal, but, you know, there are people out there who think it's going to be.
Yeah. I mean, even for me, you know, with them playing so many day games, it'll just be easier for me to listen for the radio broadcast.
Yeah. So, yeah. But all right, well, we actually did have a couple more signings today, Dan. You know, they were both not major, but they were both kind of interesting. The Dodgers made a signing. I know there's been a lot of people down on the Dodgers because they hadn't made a big signing, and, you know, oh my God. Well, you know, they're doing okay even without huge signings. But they did ink Jimmy Nelson to a 1-year deal. You know, I thought that was, you know, they probably could use a guy who might be able to fill that fifth spot. And, you know, if he's healthy, you know, I think it could be a pretty good deal for him. They got him on, you know, $1.25 million, you know, which is nothing in today's game. You know, he only pitched in 10 games last year because of, you know, he missed all of 2018 with an injury. You know, only pitched in 10 games due to injury last year. But in 2017, you know, he looked like he had found it. He was 12-6 with a 3.49 ERA, made 29 starts, you know, 175 innings. But remember, he was a Brewer, so those innings are always going to be limited. I thought it was a pretty solid signing for them. Are you you liking the signing in the landing spot there?
Yeah, I think it's a good plan, and, you know, a good pickup for the Dodgers.
So, you know, I mean, of course, the big key is if he's healthy, you know, which, you know, we have to, you know, you can almost include in everybody nowadays. But, yeah, you know, I thought that was a pretty, you know, pretty interesting move there on their part. And then the White Sox made another signing. You know, the one thing everybody was waiting for was for them to add to their bullpen. Well, they go across town and they steal a Cub, Dan. The last couple of years, Steve Cishek has been in a Cub uniform. Well, now he got a one-year deal with the White Sox with an option for a second year. You know, again, a solid season. He pitched in 70 games, had a 2.95 ERA, picked up 7 games when the Cubs bullpen was in trouble there. Did go 4-6, so he did give some games away. But he's a really solid setup guy. I haven't bought him as a closer since I think, when he was a Mariner or a Cardinal or something. He had 25 saves in 2016 with the Mariners. I don't even know if I bought him then. It was more when he was with a Marlins that I was really buying him as a closer. As long as they're only using him as a setup guy and he gets the occasional save chance, it could be a pretty good signing. But yeah, if they need him to go get 30 or 40 saves, I think they're in trouble with him. are you buying that? You like the landing spot there?
I mean, I like the landing spot. Like you said, I don't know if he's closer material.
But, yeah, it does, while it's all kind of shaking out, I am starting to wonder, besides Craig Kimbrell, what the hell is the Cubs bullpen going to look like? It's going to be Craig Kimbrell and a bunch of also-rans? I mean, here you go, Dan. Here, this is their projected bullpen as of right now. Tell me how excited you are for this. Obviously, Craig Kimbrell will close. You're looking at Rowan Wick, Kyle Ryan, Ryan Tepia, Brad Weck, Dwayne Underwood Jr., Trevor McGill, and Alec Mills.
It lights out.
Maybe they will finish it. Maybe they will finish in fourth place. Oh, so and obviously there's still plenty of time to add. I mean, there's no rush in running out there and trying to chase down any of these relievers that are still left. But I honestly think I would just be excited if I heard they had interest in somebody besides the obligatory, we're going to trade Chris Bryant thing.
Well, I mean, don't they have to trade Chris Bryant for a full bullpen now?
I did humorously get a kick out of some articles the past couple of days, and I haven't read any of them, just with the headline being so stupid. Both headlines were basically that the Cubs' asking price on Bryant is high. Well, we're talking about a guy who's a former Rookie of the Year and MVP, who is legitimately, when healthy, one of the best hitters in baseball. Of course the price tag is going to be too high. You're going to want everything under the sun to give this guy away. And I just don't get why they think, this is really high for him. No kidding. That's what you ask for in these kind of scenarios, morons. if you're going to trade a guy like Chris Bryant, it's got to be worth it. I mean, I'm not the idiot here, right? Or am I confused?
No, and I would think that teams are going to stay away from him because they're, more or less banking on the fact that he's not going to re-sign with the Cubs. And then number two, he's a Scott Boras guy. So, if you do trade away your minor league system to bring him in, it's pretty much guaranteed that he's not going to re-sign with you, regardless.
So, obviously that's, the other thing. And then the other one was, Wilson Contreras' name has been mentioned as well, but, the same thing. Well, they're asking for too much. Okay, well, besides the stupidity that they complain that he's not a good pitch framer, which we know doesn't actually exist, who would you rather have behind the plate than Contreras, Dan? I mean, Yachty's getting old. You know, is there another catcher you're looking to build on?
No.
I get it. The Yankee fans are jumping up and down for Gary Sanchez. And, yes, offensively, that would be fantastic. But Sanchez is a butcher behind the corner. You know, where Contreras is a defense, you know, he should be, I don't know why he doesn't win the Gold Glove every year. So, you know, I think mostly because he does get a little wild throwing from time to time and wants to pick everything off. But, yeah, there aren't many guys in his category. So, you know, if you're getting a young foundational building catcher with, he has multiple years of arbitration, like, this is about 3 years long. Why aren't you going to ask the Washington?
Well, and, you know, like you said, with the multiple years of arbitration, you have that. You also have the time to really step out of the box and, you know, have him on your team for a year and go, I think he's worth, you know, just signing a contract.
You know, I guess the thing that kind of, you know, baffles me about this guy, you know, these guys, because, you know, another pitcher getting strong consideration lately, Mike Clevenger's name has came up a lot in trade talk. You know, partially because, you know, the Indians seem like they just want to strip everything down. You know, Clevenger was hurt last year, limited to 21 starts, but he was 13-4 with a 2.71 ERA. So he's put up good numbers his last 3 years. You know, he's only 29, but he doesn't hit free agency till 2023. You know, I don't see anybody complaining about what they're going to have to give up for this guy. Why does it just seem to be the Cub guys that they go, oh, that's a lot to give up for him? What do you think the Indians are going to want for Mike Clevenger?
A bag of balls?
Yeah. You know, I mean, do you think they're going to give these guys away? I mean, you know, the other Indian is Francisco Lindor, who I think is in his last year of arbitration. Or no, he's got one more year after that. You don't think the Indians are going to want a boatload of prospects to get Lindor? You know, and he wasn't Rookie of the Year, and he didn't win an MVP. You know, I get it. He's a media darling because, you know, he's Mr. Smile and all that other fun stuff. But really, do you think they're giving him to you? They're going to go, hey, you, yeah, give me that jersey and I'll let you have Francisco Lindor. I don't see it going that way.
It'll be a straight-up trade. Lindor for Contreras.
Right, you know. So.
And then no one could complain. No, and I mean, you know, and that's one of the things that killed me is, again, you know, we're sitting back here in regular people land where the people that complain about this and make these, you know, assertions, this is what they do for a living. And they're always surprised. Oh my God, I can't believe that they're going to be, do you not follow the game that you cover every single day of your life? What do you do?
So I I'm just kind of baffled. I mean, you know, where do you honestly think these things are going to go? You know, I mean, you think they want to get rid of them. So, you know, it's kind of like our fantasy league. Do you think we're just going to, you know, well, hey, here's three bench guys. Give me your star shortstop.
Yeah.
Okay. Here you go. Take my best guy, and I will, I will give you my, this guy here. So I'll give you this guy who hasn't made it to the majors yet, but, you know, he's still in rookie ball. And, I'll give you a couple other of these rookie ball guys, and we can make this trade. No, it doesn't work like that.
Well, you know, and the other part of it is that the experts, quote, unquote, experts, have gotten so enamored with prospects that, I mean, let's go back to the, I was going to say Shea Weber, but that's not his name. The kid, you know, Dansby Swanson trade.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the amount of stuff that what Phoenix had to give up, and look at, neither one ended up in any better position, you know, in the long term. But when that trade happened, the prospects that Arizona gave up, I mean, they were dogged. You would think they're the dumbest owner, you know, GM presidents in Major League Baseball for making that trade, because they gave up too many prospects.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, to be fair, you know, the Braves did get the better of that deal because Shelby Miller just exploded. You know, I mean, he, for whatever reason, you know, just hadn't been able to figure it out and, you know, ended up out of baseball. So,
yeah,
you know, one of those. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe he still will because he's young, but Dansby Swanson didn't exactly turn into the superstar that they were projecting.
No.
So, you know, I mean, I know he had a better year last year until he got hurt, but, you know, I think it was 2 years ago, he was so bad they sent him to the minors.
Yeah. Well, and then I laugh because nobody bats an eye when the White Sox on two trades scoop up eight prospects.
Yeah.
No one says a word.
So,
you know, how long did it take for Adam Eaton to actually play for the Nationals consistently?
Yeah, I think last year was the first time he stayed kind of healthy. You know, other than that, he was just always hurt.
But, I mean, I think you and I sat back and we're like, man, the Nationals are dumb with that signing or that trade. You know, maybe not dumb, but and that's only because we kind of knew that he was, I mean, neither one of us predicted that he'd be injured all the way to last year, but he kind of had that track record. Like, you overpaid for the guy you got, which, I mean, I don't remember who else was in that trade, but at the end of the day, when you kind of look at it, it's almost a one-for-one because the White Sox really profited, you know, did well with the, you know, picking up Lucas Giolito. And then second half happened, I don't know what happened to him.
Lopez and Dane Dunning.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually bought two rotation pieces, and, you know, a guy I keep hearing about, allegedly Dunning has a shot to make the club this year. We'll see. You know, but, you know, they got two legitimate major league starting pitchers for Adam Eaton. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
You know, and the humorous thing is the way it's working out, they may have gotten a better deal for Adam Eaton than they got for Chris Sale. And Sale, you know, you would think would be the bigger commodity, but, you know, with the exception of Moncada, I don't know, you know, if or when or how those other guys are going to work out. I'm trying to think of who else came over in the deal. I'm going to have to look it up, to be fair. But,
yeah, but,
yeah,
I mean, you see the point, though. Like, those two trades are made, and everyone's like, oh, okay. There's nothing wrong with these at all, even though I still feel that both teams overpaid a little bit for the trade that they got in return.
So, yeah.
But neither team was dogged.
You know, let me see here, find the trade. They did get Michael Kopech in that deal. You know, obviously we'll see how he works out coming back from injury. There were two other guys, Victor Diaz and Luis Alexander, and I always butcher his last name. I guess I'm just going to go with Basib. You know, I don't know if either of these guys are projected to make it to the majors, or you know, where they're even rated, you know, right now. But I haven't heard their names as being anywhere close to, you know, the major leagues, where Lopez and Giolito have been pitching in the Sox rotation for the last couple of years. So, but yeah, it's just weird how, you know, trading, you know, if you trade too many prospects, they want to kill you. But then if you don't trade enough prospects, you're ripping the other team off. So, it's almost kind of like a, you know, a no-win type of situation. You know, they're going to play both sides, I guess, apparently, just to be safe. So, but yeah, it just kind of, you know, kind of odd when, you know, we're talking about these guys. And I mean, like, some of the deals for Lindor, you know, you got to remember when the Dodgers were involved, there was talk of Corey Seager, you know, either Gavin Lux or Dustin May, and then other lower tier prospects. So you were talking about a legitimate major leaguer, one of the, either your top fielding, your top hitting prospect or your top pitching prospect, and then other prospects in your system. And the Dodgers have a very rich farm system. So is that, but that's not too much to give up for Francisco Lindor, but it would be too much to give up for Chris Bryant. What's the difference there? You know, where does the negativity come in for Bryant? And, you know, I get it locally, you know, like the first thing Schomburg Stu brought up to me was, well, he didn't drive in as many runs as he should have. Well, Dan, if I have been over this a million times, he hit second in the order. You actually do have less RBI opportunities in the two hole. You know, it just kind of worked out that way. So, you know, how is that his fault that Joe Maddon batted him second? You know, he's been banged up the last couple of years. Well, Lindor was banged up too last year or the year before, missed some time. You know, it happens to these guys as they go along. You know, it's just one of those things. So it's, you know, it's baffling how it's like, oh, well, yeah, look at this. This is a nice package for Lindor. You know, and the Dodgers can afford to give that up. That's no big deal. But when it comes to Chris Bryant, the Cubs can't get an established major league player, a top prospect, and then two lower-tier prospects. That's too much to give up. Right, I'm kind of missing the transition there, I guess, so to speak. Are they not both quality players? I mean, is Lindor's star projected to be that much higher than Bryant's? Because I would have to think, as of right now, Bryant's had, you know, the better career, or at least the more awarded career. You know, I don't believe Lindor was Rookie of the Year. I'll have to double check that, but I don't believe he was Rookie of the Year, and I know he hasn't won an MVP. So, you know, maybe, you know, maybe, you know, I missed something. You know, could it really just be because he's a shortstop? You know, did they come up with that? Just the fact that, hey, well, you know, here you go. This guy, you know, he was a shortstop, and that makes him better. You know,
well,
I mean,
you know,
if I go that way, Bryant plays multiple positions, right?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, if, you know, you are the team that lands Lindor, and you know, your center fielder goes down for some reason, well, he could play there, right? Because shortstops play everywhere.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he could, but it's nothing he's done at the major league level. I mean, Brian has legitimately played four positions in the major leagues. You know, he's played third, first, left, and right. And I did double check Lindor a Rookie of the Year award. So.
Well, you know, and the other side of it is the fact that, you know, he isn't so position specific. Doesn't that hurt the value?
For who, Brian?
Yeah.
Well, you would think it would help it, right? Because he gives teams options.
I mean, I guess, but I don't know. You know, I think it's, you know, the consistency. When you put a guy at third on Monday and on Thursday he's playing right field, you know, is that really the best thing for the player?
Well, you know, there's guys who make careers. You know, I mean, Ben Zobrist made a career out of it.
Yeah, but, okay, now list off the rest of those guys.
Well, you know, I mean, there's been guys like, you know, Hernán Pérez. You know, you can go through. There are multiple guys that have done this, you know, throughout their careers. You know, I mean, technically Jackie Robinson did it. You know, he played second, third, short, in the, you know, in the outfield.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we normally don't see a guy like Bryant, who's 6'5", and as big as he is, being that guy. You know, and I mean, honestly, I think it would be better if he just played one position. But, you know, in a pinch, you know, you got to do these things. I mean, Cody Bellinger just won an MVP playing first, and I think all three of the outfield positions for the Dodgers. So,
yeah,
it
didn't hurt him. But when you look at Chris Bryant and what Joe Maddon was doing with him, like, it just – it made no sense. You're putting in a subpar player to replace – to put in position for Chris Bryant when Chris Bryant should kind of maintain that spot at third base, and you could have been filling in the outfield with guys who – more successful at it, but instead you'd rather sit the guys who should be playing the outfield and bring in a guy who really has no business being up at the major leagues and getting him in the rotation every single day. Which is essentially what they were trying to do. They were trying to make more Ben Zobrist, and it just blew up in their face.
That's more a Joe Maddon issue than a Chris Bryant issue, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's hurt him.
You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's not Bryant's fault that's how they wanted to handle him. I mean, I think he should even get some credit for being willing to do that.
Yeah, well, so, you know, he was on vacation when he was in right field.
Yeah.
According to Maddon.
Yeah, you know, maybe he likes that. He can just kind of kick back and, you know, be like, hey, okay. So, and I did want to remind you, in case you didn't hear, Monday, I'm expecting a movie pick from you on Thursday, since we're at that point of the year. So, start working on your movie picks here so Thursday we can get one from you. Because I know I said it yesterday while it was going on, and I didn't know if you heard me. I know sometimes they don't know. So, yeah, you got a couple to work out your music pick, or your movie pick, sorry. You could do music, too, if you want, but we want a movie. And a sports movie. So, you know, start looking for your stuff, and, you know, we'll have to get it going and see how it goes.
Yeah, it might be the off season of Disney Plus sports movies.
Well, hey, whatever works, you know. We'll take that. But look at that. The music is going to take off. We'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do it all again. Now you know the deal while we're going. SportsTimeRadio.com. Just to be black confident tomorrow morning. But while you're there, there's a link to follow it over here. Don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTime Radio. For Daniel, I also float down a certain out there on Twitter as well, if you'd like to look us up. And hey, you know, if you stop on this trip live, thanks for doing that. We really appreciate it. But remember, the podcast is all set for you to listen to anytime you want. Just head on over to TuneIn.com.
sportstimeradio.com.